live for your kingdom. We live for your kingdom. We live for your kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Our hearts are open to receive your word today. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for breakthroughs. Right now, taking place in our lives, everywhere, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you receive all the glory forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is good for us to be here. Welcome somebody by your side. It's good for us to be here. Hope you're here today. So you may be seated.
Hallelujah. We've been on a long one. I don't know if you're getting tired of it, but I'm not. I think it's a good one. The Master returns. Praises, crowns, rewards. In I see the choir just wanting to lift up our spirits in that direction as we consider the King of Kings. Glory to God. So you're not tired, right? The Master returns. We've been looking at it. I know. I started talking about this, and I talked about the rewards and all that stuff. So we went back. So we had to stop and say, "See, we can't continue talking about reward when we've not looked at the fact of our position and our stand with God." And that is the issue a lot of people have. They've not considered. They can't really live for God. They can't really live for God because they've not considered their position. We started off on this last week. Come on. Don't look at me like that. So the idea is, I'm talking about rewards. I don't even know if I'm going to be there. And so we have to have that assurance. And that is why he gave us an assurance, because he wants us to live for reward. So he came and he died for us. You see, he shed his blood for us. And now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Remember, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So eternal life with God is a gift. It's a gift. You get it as a gift. You receive the gift of God. And so now you receive the gift of God. If you know and you see, oh, I've received the gift of God. Oh, my name is written in the book of life. That's powerful. So it changes the whole thing for you. You're no longer trying to get his attention. You have his attention. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You can now begin to live for reward. That means, I'm going to do this stuff. And you, what? Come on, what did you say again? Oh, you give me stuff. All right, I'll do this stuff. Now, you're no longer saying, I'm going to try to get there. Are you here? It's powerful. So we looked at some scriptures last week. And I think there was one that resonated so much. We talked about names in the book of life. And we demonstrated. We showed you scripture. I'm not going to do that. It was interesting. We flew. We landed. And so today we're going to fly again. And I can't go back to that stuff at all. Get the message. It's free. It's beautiful. Wherever you are around the world, you can just go to our website and get the message. It's uploaded after the services. Or you can go to Mixel and get it on Mixel. What Pastor Church on Mixel? What Pastor on Mixel? What Pastor on Mixel? It's live. We're live right now, and there are many people joining us live online. We love you. We know you're there. We're happy you're there, and all that stuff. Thank you. So you see, they love you. They're happy you're there. And so you can get it. So we said, listen, Paul said, he said, I talk about his fellow laborer. He said, whose names are in the book of life? He's talking about it like that. So we don't know if your name is there. And so right now, you are ambassadors of these truths. So you go and tell people out there. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people are trying to make heaven. And so today, I'm going to do some more scriptures. Then we're going to end that. And I'm going to quickly go back again. And then we're going to settle and talk about rewards. And show you again. I'm just going to show you from scripture that, and then he will reward us. So we quickly wanted to settle the place and the place of our stand with God. We did that. We did a lot of work last week. The Bible said we have moved from death to life. Remember, it said we have passed from death to life because of Jesus Christ, because of his death. We have passed from death to life. Jesus himself said, we're no longer coming into judgment. He said, we're no longer coming into judgment. We passed judgment already. Can we just look at that in John chapter number 5? John chapter number 5. In last week also, I told you the church was even considering full reward. Look to yourselves. Come on, remember that you receive a full reward. That you lose not the things that you have wrought. That you receive a full reward. Come on. He's not considering. He didn't say look to yourself whether you make it. I said look to yourself that you receive a full reward. That you do not lose the things that you have worked for already. You can work so much for them and then throw them all away again. He says, no, just keep, you know, are you here? Are you sure? If you're not here and you've gone home already, say amen. All right. You see, the scripture says lay up, lay up, lay up. When you see the word lay up, gather. You gather, because you can gather and then you can lose some part of it. Come on. How many of you have gathered some money and then invested wrongly or did something funny and then lost some? He said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Lay up. So the lay up is not just to keep something there. It's to gather. Accumulate it. So pack from this side. Put this side. Pack here. Lay up. That's what we should be thinking about. We are laying up treasures. Laying up treasures. Alright, I'm going to get there. I'm just so excited. You know why I asked you to be here? Because I'm just so excited. Alright, we start to turn to John chapter 5, right? So if you look at John chapter 5, verse number, I'm not there yet. If I call the verse, you all go read it and you got to wait for me. John chapter 5, verse number 24. Alright, I'm there. John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. He's not going to have it, right? He hath it. He gets it now. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death, what? Unto life. He's passed. He has passed. He says, is he going to fail the exam? No, he has passed. He has passed from death unto life. It's a simple thing. Jesus is speaking now. So this is not what they said for him. This is what he's saying now. He has passed from death unto life. And why? Why? Look at what. Did he do something? Come on. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and what? Believeth on him that sent me. So what did he do? Come on. What did he do? He believed. He heard and what? Believed. That's what he did. That's what he did. He believed. And Jesus says, now, this guy that believes, he has passed from death to life. He has passed from death to life. Glory to God. So we see, he passed from death to life. We looked at the book of Revelation. He said the books and the book of life was open. He said then, he talked about the names written in the book of life. And somebody said, I want my name to be there. Is your name there? Blah, blah, blah. All that is story. We can know for certain that your name is there. We can know. I settled that last week. I showed you scriptures. So you say, I still don't get it. Please, I don't have it. Then go get the message. I can't do that. I don't have time for that. So then look at, since we're in John, Jesus says already here in John chapter 5, 24, he has passed from death to life. Let's go to John chapter 3. You know John chapter 3, verse number 16. Let's just do that. John chapter 3, from verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's not as if he would not die. Should not die. It's whosoever believeth in him should not die. No, should not perish. I told you the difference between perish and die. And death. Perish, separation from God forever and ever and ever. That's perish, gone. But shall have what? Everlasting life. He believes, then he shall have everlasting life. Are you here? He needs to... Whosoever would believeth in him. Verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Come on.
he that believeth on him is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, you must understand that our peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to achieve peace with God is through Jesus Christ. He's condemned already, not because of bad things, but because he had not believed. Belief is the key here. Come on, how many of us have believed in Jesus? You see now. Believe. This believe in Jesus. I want to show you. I want to make a point before I begin to show you some scriptures today about more scriptures. Maybe we'll go into rewards. I want to make a point. And this is strong. And listen to this. You need to get this. This understanding and why I'm doing this. But you say you talk about reward, but you're spending so much time here. I need to spend time here. Listen to me. When you understand what he has done for you, you can actually now begin to live for him. Because if you say, so they don't make it ask you, you say, what has Jesus done for you? Some of you are like, Jesus, Jesus is good. If you give your life to Jesus, he has done many things. You know, you're not religious. You say, he has done many things. Then you will start from, he has kept me alive today. Many love to see today, they did not see today. That is easy. Really, the first thing you will say, the first thing that hits you is that I have peace with God. My eternal destination is sure. No guilt in life, no fear in death. That's the first thing. So, what has Jesus done for you? Oh, he secured. You know, when somebody goes to secure your future, it's more than anything he can do now. He has secured your future. Your eternal future is secure. That's the thing he has done for you. The greatest thing. You say, even if you don't see anything here and now, car, house, money, land on your head, boy, he has secured eternal future for you. So your eternal future is secure because of what he has done. So what has Christ done for you? You start. Come on. Are you here? Jesus, this since I don't believe in Jesus, I don't even know what he has done. I thought he would come to my life, he would do a lot of things. Like what? He has not given me husband, he has not given me money, he has not given me car, he has not given me house. I don't even know what he has done. Then I say I should come and live for him, live for Jesus. All these pastors. You see how we're saying two different things. All these pastors, they just want to just be coming to church. You just want to just be following them. They just say Jesus on one side. How do they say give Jesus? Pray. They just say Jesus. Jesus said, what has he done? We don't value salvation. We don't value the eternal life that he has given to us. We just take eternal life, not like Esau. We say, what is this thing to me? What is this thing? It's till when you are at that point between life and death. If you have that opportunity, you will know whether I have done anything for you. When it's time to meet your maker. You see. Are you still here? He has saved your soul, giving you peace with God. So you have secured our eternal destination. Are you here? You receiving this? Come on. Very important. No, I have points. I have things I want to cover today. But there's no point in rushing through them. You have to receive this. You have to open your eyes. Because when you have seen this, you will begin to live for it. You will no longer be wondering whether some people are crazy or not. He has done so much for me. He has saved my soul from destruction. He has put me on the path of life. Then you can now start to count the other things that you see around you. They are just extras. He has guaranteed you eternity with him. He guaranteed it. There's nothing that anybody can do again. There's nothing the devil can do to touch it. The devil can touch many things, But that one, he can't touch it. He went to the cross and died. He can't touch it again. That one is guaranteed. That if you have one thing guaranteed in your life, it's eternal life. Peace with God. Guarantee. Stamp. Bam. The cross of Jesus Christ is stamp. Just stamp it. It can't be undone. It cannot undie. It cannot uncross. He went to the cross and died. That is stamped. Then you now ask me, so what is the next thing? You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, to show forth the praise of him that called you out of darkness into light. So what should I now do? Because now, what is now the next? The next thing is not to be living for him. But if you have not seen that part, you'll be wondering what you want to do for him. For what? When he has not given me money, I should now give him. Eh? You people have sense. They're like, no, yeah, you should do something so that I will not. Should give you bread. Bread. Which bread? Say bread. Say, what do you do to show that you are the Son of God so that we may believe? Show us a sign. That's the same thing you are doing. Do something so that we know. Because we're not going to believe. He came to die for your soul. Set you free from the bondage of hell. Guaranteed it with his blood. It's not your blood. It's not about what you do. You just not need to believe on him. And say, all you did it for me. Thank you, Jesus. And then you now say, what has he done for me that I should now? He has done everything for you already. Come on. You see? Verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Because he had not believed in, not because he has done something wrong. This is that book of life we're talking about. You see it now. Can you continue to overlap everything I teach you? So what puts his name there or puts this name here? Believe. Believe. Once you believe, name written here. That's why Paul could confidently say, and all my fellow laborers whose names are in the book. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, rejoice. He said, don't rejoice that you have power over the demon. Say, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The people he's talking to, they know. You should have to know. You have to have an assurance of salvation. They knew. He said, rejoice. So you should be happy. He said, why are you happy? He said, I rejoice. Why? Because my name is in heaven. Somebody now says, you might not know. Jesus says, people, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Don't rejoice that you have cars and houses and lands and buildings. He said, it's okay. He said, but you should really rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Because after all these things, you will know whether cars and houses will. That's true joy. Oh God, I'm preaching to my church. True joy. He said that joy, be happy, all these things. But the truest form is that all these things will go. But that one, it stays with you. Joy. So he's talking to people and he tells them to rejoice that. And they also say, hello, Jesus, we don't know if our name is there. Is your name going to be there? He say, let us pray that our name will be there. Huh? Let us try believing so that when we get there, we now say, check. It means what Jesus said was nonsense. They can't rejoice. Nobody can rejoice. Come on. Nobody can rejoice because nobody knows. Paul is talking about another person. He say, whose names are written? Did he go and write it? He said, Paul, are you the one that wrote their names? Guys of today, we ask him. Hey, are you the one that wrote their names? So if I say, your names are written in the book of life, so see these pastors deceiving his members. Deceiving them. Are you the one that wrote their names? Does any pastor have the right to write the name of his members in the book of life? Let him go. That is how they deceive their members. Paul said people's names are written. He said all of them. He didn't say two people. He just said all of them. He just blanket everybody and said their names are written in the book of life. That's beautiful. If you didn't get that last, you go get it, you fly. It will settle that matter. That should settle that matter. It will settle that matter for you. All right. We'll go to another one. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll give you another one.
You see, we move to rewards today. Ephesians chapter 5. Once you've received this assurance of salvation, can you get that point? I'm going over it again. Once you receive this assurance of salvation, it changes you. You are now coming from a place of power, a place of right standing. You're not trying to attain it and say, I failed because yesterday was bad. So it's up and down. No, it's there. So you are coming from there, from victory. So you have a better chance in your walk with God. You have a better chance to live for rewards. You're not living for rewards. You're not conscious. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And as I do these things, there's an impact for me in eternity. Because he has done something for you. And once you see he has done something for you, and not, you know, preach. It's not just that he has done something for you. You know, it's always reciprocal. It's always, what something has he done? How great is this something? I want to touch it. How great is this something? Because, you know, you talk about how you owe your sister because she has helped you for many years. So, she's traveling and I have to go and help her clean up. I have to go help her pack. Come on. So I have to go help her pack. This person has done it, so I do this. So, but if you, come on, then you have people who have done something, but it's not enough for you to do something, another thing. I'm trying to make a point. It's a rush one coming to my mind. You get my point. So is this degree of something that he has done, or it means the degree of something you will do, will you be willing to do? Yeah, he helped me where. So therefore, he has done this thing for me, so I will do this stuff. So the idea now is when you say Christ and what he has done for you, what is the weight of it? Come on. What is the weight of what Christ has done for you? Is it immeasurable? You can't put it on scale. Huh? Come on. Maybe you can talk to me now. So if you see it like that, if you see the scale, what he has done for you, it will be easy for you to do something for him, to give him some stuff from what you have. If you see that all you have is because of, if you see, forget about what you have. Let's say you have nothing. You see that your eternity is secured because of him. Your here and now will be nothing for you to give to him. Come on, I just did something. Eternity is secure. He secured your eternity. You will secure his own here. His own here. Because what he has done for you is even more than what you can do for him here. Your own here is 80 years, 70 years. His own is secured for his eternity. Come on. Let's not cheat Jesus. Come on. Let's not cheat him. Because he secured eternity. What will you do for him here? So it is the weight of salvation. What is the weight of salvation? For many of you, for many people, salvation is like nothing. It's equal to nothing. Salvation, you can even throw it away. Just like salvation, then it's only, it's like nothing. The weight of salvation is what I think we need to stay there a little bit. What is the weight of the cross? When Jesus went to the cross and died for you, what is the weight of it? What is the worth? What is it worth? He saw something in you and he went to the cross and died for you and secured your eternal destination. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he has given you all that. If you see the worth of that, you begin to pursue living for him here. Because you do the mass. Everybody does the mass. Like I told you, I'll go help my sister back. Because I stayed with her all through these years. where I remember all that time. So, sir, I have to go. You take excuse from work, sir. She's getting married in Makurdi. You travel 9 hours. Come on. But someone says, hello, my Ivy. Hey, look at the place. God bless you. You say, I want you to be there. You say, no problem. Give it. The best guy is giving a card number. I want you there. Say, try. Look at it. Where? Makurdi. Long. Okay. We'll try. Don't worry. As you keep the card, you know that you are not worth that trip to. You're not worth it. Not rich. You just say, okay, I'll go. All your weight, we sit on the same desk. You sit on this side, I sit on this side. You mark paper, I sign it, then we give it to Oga. Secretary, and we are friends. And you one day I pinch from your chocolate bread, and then the other day you pinch I took one spoon from my chocolate rice, you took 2 spoons from my jollof rice. And then I did all this, and you say you want to buy, I should go to Bagor, you know. Then it doesn't work. No, but you say, I don't do that math. For me, I just do everything. Really. Talk truth. So we come to Jesus Christ. When we bring that mass to the table and we say, is he worth traveling to Benue for? Come on. They're not asking me again. Everybody is not doing, hey, should I really answer? Because you know you want to lie. Don't lie to me. Say no. If it's not, you say it's not worth it. Even you know rich. Who go rich? My uncle just sent me $5,000. I will go anywhere for him. Or you see, it's where your priority is. You don't understand. So I will preach to make you understand. I won't be angry with you. I just know you don't understand. The $5,000 they sent to you, it has finished. Or it remains small. Then you do another, you beg for another one again. But when he went to the cross, he died once. Bible says once he suffered for all, and right now he's seated on the right hand of God. One time for sin, he suffered once for sin for everybody. Once, secured something and put a stamp on eternity, so that you can live in this life without guilt towards God. And then when you are passing to the other side, you are not afraid. I can never forget. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Powerful. As I hear now, I'm not afraid that God is now praying nothing, because it's Jesus. As he sees me, he sees the blood. You say, that would not mean I'll go and do all manner of nonsense. No, that actually means now that I'm thinking of ways to do all manner of things for him. I'm like, even if I cut my two hands, it will not be enough. Somebody says, this sacrifice you are making is a very huge one, and I respect it. I respect men of God for their sacrifice. It's amazing. What are they doing? What are we really doing? Really, truthfully, what is the men of God doing? They gave their life so that they had time for Jesus Christ. So, because what they are doing, I respect it too. I can't do it. Really, are we doing anything as a pastor? Am I doing anything that is beyond what he has done? Am I doing the 0.55%, 0.0005% of what he has done? You should wake up, not just go and say, I will not do it. You should do it too. All of us should live like that. That's what I'm getting the church to. You think I'm going to the church and say, okay, yeah, my sons, all of you zombies. We are the ones living. You are the ones just following. Just be following, like that. You should all be doing what I'm doing. Making sacrifice like I make sacrifice. I'm showing you the way to do it. I'm saying that what I'm doing, if I lay my life down, I'm saying I can't do this, I can't do that. I have the burden of the churches on me. I'm considering this church. I'm calling this church. Yesterday I was going on here. I said, I can't be here and be there. Okay, I have to come here. No, I said, I can't come here and go there. All right, you guys run this stuff. I go that way. I come back. I go that stuff. I hurry running away. And I say, really today, you know, I have served God. So I deserve a car now. I deserve healing. No, I deserve healing. Don't I deserve healing? Come on. Like when you serve small, you not deserve some things too, man. You know now. When you know, at least I deserve small. Come on, how have you deserve? Like people like me in my level, we deserve God. We just say, hello, God, come.
He just comes and say, yes, Pastor. Yeah. I say, I need. He has to answer me. After all I've done for him. About. I can't even do anything for him if he didn't give me the privilege to do it for him. You won't be clean enough to come before him and say, Father, unless he gives you the privilege to come and wash you and say, come and call me Father. Do you understand? So there's no job. It begins with him. It's not from you. It's from him. He's the one that even helped you to do something for him. If nothing you will do in this life will be what near him. He's holy, holy, holy. He's all powerful. He created life and death. He created life and death. Let's be afraid, Simona. You don't say all this thing I've done for him, so therefore I deserve his healing. So when you are praying for money, you forget Jesus. Jesus is just on one side. Then they have to answer you now. You just finished 3 days dry fasting. So for what? For what? If people have taught you that nonsense, I've brainwashed you to wash that nonsense out of you, man. We don't deserve anything by what we have done. Everything that we receive comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've not done anything, but you deserve healing. You've not done anything, but you deserve money. You deserve provision. You deserve protection. He protects you not because of what you have done, but because of his name. Because of his son, Jesus Christ. He looks at the death of his son, Jesus Christ, and then he gives you grace and mercy and love in abundance. This is the gift of God. It's not what we have done. It is what Christ has done. It is the gift of God. It's the gift. So we don't deserve any. So no matter how the state of your life, where you are, you can just come and take healing. So that you just take it like that. Let me tell you, nobody can take anything like that. Anything is not for just for anything. It's not free. You just say, just come and take healing. That, okay, go and take now. Somebody actually paid. Jesus Christ. He paid. So I come and take now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take it. So you have a sickness in your body or a pain in your body, and you are just doing let it go. I have a series I'm ready to teach it already. Stop begging, start receiving. You don't beg, you don't come and beg, you receive. You see, Lord, please, if you will just do this for me. What do you mean? He sent his son to die for you. What are you begging for? Come on. Let me tell you, you might not even feel what I'm saying now. I feel it in a different light. I feel it in the light of scriptures and truth, but I also feel it in the light of my son. I bring out a bottle of water to drink. As I bring out a bottle of water, he's there, and I begin to drink water. He says, Daddy, give me water. And I'm drinking, I'm just taking water. I'm drinking. And he says, Daddy, give me water. And before I finish drinking and turn something for him, he says, Daddy, please now. Daddy, give me water now. Please now. Daddy, I'm begging you now. I'm your manger. I'm like, I just paid your school fees yesterday. What's wrong with this boy? I find that he doesn't understand what I'm talking about. I said, why is he doing please? I said, he's making me look as if I'm a devil. I said, water is in the fridge. I'll give him. I feel bad. I mean, terrible. Because, and the direction it will not take me to drink my water, finish and give to him. I just stop drinking the water and give to him immediately. Because I'm like, guy, stop doing please now. He doesn't give you a chance. If you just say, Daddy, give me some, and you just turn. Before you turn, he said, please now. He does it, you know, he just learns things. I don't know where he got down from, but just please now. You are like, please for what? Just let me give it to you. Can't just beg him. I was like, I just gave my son to you. Why are you doing like that? Why are you doing like that? I was giving his son for you. How much will he not with him now freely give us all things? There are many more things he wants to give to you. Just come with confidence and receive. Boy, this thing is turning to something else. Are we still here? Ephesians chapter number 3. Let's look at this. I'll show you something also. We need to begin to believe the scriptures more than our minds, or more than what somebody says who has not read the whole scripture.
Times are changing. People are trying to motivate people to live right by telling them you might not. Because if you tell them that you are there, then everything gets bad. No, that is not correct. I am telling you that with your name there, and knowing that he has done so much for you, it's easy for you to live for him. It's sometimes easier. What I'm doing, I don't consider it one big deal. As if I'm one big guy, you know, big guy, all these small minions. No, it's not a big deal what I do. What I do is because I see what he has done for me. If you see, the more you see what he has done for you, the more you will do. Don't be hard for you. What is in this life to what he has done for you? What did he left heaven for me. I can leave anything. What am I asked to leave here? I also leave earth for him. Guy, can we do that? He left heaven, came to earth for you. He asked you to leave earth so you can be with him in heaven. You say no. It doesn't make sense now. Ed, yeah. You are already in trouble here. This is already bad here. This is already bad. Come on. All manner of issues are happening here. You still want to be here. You still want to hold on to this thing. Why are you holding on to something that is not good? He came to remove that thing from your hand and put something else good in your hand. Gold. Heaven. Now you are laying hold of heaven. But guess what? You want to leave heaven and lay hold, very strong hold on earth. That is... Come on. What you do, just go and look at some of your pictures. Look at your pictures. You know that your best shirt that time. If I show you how for me, I don't know about you. There's some clothes I really loved then. Years ago, I don't know if you have them, but to share this, so they're just perfect video. Sometimes I don't wish to know what I gave them out, what happened to them. I looked at some pictures some days ago. There's this shirt, trouser, shirt. When I wear, it's a perfect combination. I can't tell you whether it's somebody stole it as I'm talking to you right now. But I don't know. I don't have it anymore. It has passed. This world is passing away. Everything is passing away. And we are trying to hold on to it. He came, died, to set us free from this thing, and so that we cannot lay hold of something purer, something stronger, something richer, something bigger. Alright. Ephesians chapter number 3, look at it. Verse number 14. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 15 is what I'm interested in. Or 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and what? And earth is what? Name. So there's a whole family. Remember Book of Life. You can still stay there if you want. A whole family in heaven and earth. So some members of the family are where? They are in heaven. Some members of the family are where? On earth. But is it one family? The whole family. One family. The whole family in heaven and earth. Are you here? We are members of the family on earth. So I'm a member of the family already, but I am where? On earth. The fact that I'm on earth does not mean I'm not a member of the family. The family is so large. There are some people in heaven. I have some people on earth. Are you here? So your location doesn't mean you're not a member of the family. So if you have a family member, overseas, it doesn't now mean, let's say even everybody travels overseas. And then you are just left here in Nigeria. It does not mean that you're not going to be a member of the family. Father and mother, I want to call a name, Lutenia, or Luxembourg. I want to call the one that is hard for you people. Lithuania. Okay, that one is even hard for me too. So that if I call UK, Canada, everybody knows this one. I'm looking for names that are difficult for you people.
Alright, they are overseas. Any country you love.
And then you are the only one here. Are you still a member of the family? Right? So it's one family.
The whole family in heaven and on earth is named one name. So the fact that I am here does not mean I'm not a citizen of heaven. I am on earth now. I will be in heaven soon. I just need to leave this place and leave this body and go to the other side. Are you here? And the Bible so respects us. I'm going somewhere with this scripture. You say, I'm not spending time there because I want to branch somewhere. Where I want to branch with this one is interesting. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? You have a matter with your brother, you now go to court with one guy that doesn't know Jack. And not before the saints. Look at verse 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? The world shall be judged by you. Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Are you seeing that here? The saints shall judge the world. Anybody has told you that one before? That is something about and when. Come on, I know we are thinking a lot here because we have to think so that it can dawn on us and we can come to a conclusion and our lives can change. Now look at what Paul says. Paul says that the saints, the people he knows here, not people that are dead, these people he knows here, that they will judge the world. Because he was referring them to the people here. Paul says that if me and you have a quarrel, that it doesn't make sense that we take our matter to the court or unjust. Yeah. He says, why not bring it before the brethren here? Then he now says, the brethren here, these people, they will judge the world. You are waiting to be judged. Paul says, no, you people will judge the world. Okay. Oh yeah. Write me. Tell me. Study. Bring it up. Tell me this part should be deleted from scriptures. It says the saints will judge the world. You don't told you that before. He's talking about people that are here, not in heaven. Then in verse number 3, look at what he now said. This one is well. Know ye not. You know, when Paul said know ye not, and he said, do you not know? Really, it's like this thing is how do you not know? That's what they mean. How come you don't know these things? Because these things you know. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We shall judge what? Angels. You say E? Me too, I say E. E? So we are going to judge the world. We are going to judge angels. What I'm trying to say is that Paul knows that now for a fact that that will what will be happen. He's not saying maybe you will make heaven. If you make heaven, then you will judge the world. No, he says you will. As a matter of fact, that he knows that's what will happen. It means that matter is settled. Are you here? Okay, I think I've overdone this thing. But you really get this point now. Overdone. When it's overdone, it means that it's done. Nobody, you are not coming back to this matter again. Are we together now? If you have difficult scriptures, what do you do for me? If you have difficult scriptures, bring them for me. Alright? I will help you with them. Just bring them for me. Write them down, bring them for me. Difficult scriptures, it's too difficult. Bring them. I'm ready. Most of the time, many scriptures that these people stand upon are wrong, grossly misinterpreted, taken out of context, and all that. When somebody says, I love this man of God, I say, when you take the text out of the context, what you'll have left is corn. Glory to God. All right. So, we are members of the family in the family, and we are on earth. And he has the, Paul has the confidence to say that we, members of the family on earth, just now, will be judging angels and judging this world. Judging this world. So now that we know that our place is settled, we can move forward towards seeking rewards with him. Can I speak to you now? Come on. Now that we know, all of us have the same entrance points. We have the same entrance point in the kingdom. We have all entered. The question that we now have is now, what will now be if... All right. Are you here? So, we know. I just want to make sure you are here. What I want to say next is important. We know, because I'm moving to the words fully. From next week, I won't come back here. I've finished my discussion on our position, our destination. Our destination is secured by our belief. Right? Our compensation is not what I want to start talking to you about. So, now that we know that our stand is the same Jesus Christ that died for this one, that died for this one. Right? The same Jesus. If they use the same mark, it will not imply that when we get to see the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, Jesus, what will now be the difference? We will now almost have an implication to say that, okay, that we all have the same stand, because it was the same thing that brought all of us into the house. Right? For example, let me do this. Let me use jamb, because I'm seeing your jamb face. It was the same jamb all of us wrote. The exam you wrote to get admission to University of Benin is what? Jamb. The one I wrote to get admission to University of Benin is what? Jamb. It's the same jamb, but we are reading different courses. We're reading different courses. Cut-off mark. The cut-off mark for all these courses are not the same. Some courses have a higher cut-off mark. Some courses have a lesser cut-off mark. But it's the same jam. So it's the same Jesus Christ that granted all of us admission. But how come some of us will be greater than some of us? Works. So it's now to drag position. I think you got it sharp. I like that. Did you get that? The same Jesus. I'm not any better than you. All I'm dragging with you now is position. And funnily, he gave everybody the opportunity to drag the position. So the starting line is the same. The position is open. Not like because they gave birth to your elder brother before you. Funnily, he's your guy. For what? I still say that to you today. For what? The father that they gave birth to you before me, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't really mean anything. How am I supposed to choose who they will give birth to first? Okay, sorry. Some of you are firstborn. Some of you are firstborn. The thing is in your brain. Hello, 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 come. Juliet, can you help me watch close? Juliet, will you please, listen, firstborn. They born me first before they born you. So what? For what? You see, no, it should be this. Let's not argue that one today. If you are looking for me, come and look for me. I will argue with you. Nonsense. We should have love and respect for one another. That matter was not, we did not do anything to determine that matter. But in this case, we will do. If my main point here is that we all have the same Jesus, and so we will get to stand before God equally. But the idea, we all in the, has given us the name. Our names are already in the book of life. But the idea is who will read medicine and who will read not medicine. Sorry, I just use medicine as if it's one thing. It's nothing actually. Because that's the way we do it here. Medicine seems to be the greatest, followed by this, followed by that. There's nothing like that. You can read arts and have a great destiny.
I'm sorry I did that. That's crap. That's nonsense. All right, let's go. All right, we have the same access through Jesus, but what would cause that separation and give you that real position that you will say, I have this position? It's not by birth. It's by works. It's not the fact that they gave birth to me before you. The work that I did, can you do it? So when I send you a message, you say yes and go. Come on. When I send you an errand, you say yes and go. Because I ain't it. He acquired a name that is higher than every other name. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Why? He left heaven. He came to die. A death, a humiliating death on the cross. And he was sinless. Ah. When Jesus said go, answer him. They didn't dash him the name. He earned the name. You see it now. You can earn it. You can earn a position of power. You can earn it. You can earn your reward. So this guy has these crowns. This guy has 5 crowns. This guy has 2 crowns. It's not they gave birth to him before me, so therefore I don't have to. Not like they share property. The fact that they gave birth to your brother before you, he gets a building. You get half and share with your other brother half. But he takes the full, one full building. The other building, they said the two of you will not share it. Half plot, half plot. At least they gave you something. But they gave him more than you. By what? By birth. He didn't do anything. He was just fortunately born before you. No problem. I don't have a problem with that. Kudos to you guys in Africa. Continue. Generally, we have a scripture. We have scripture that gives us that direction. A double portion for the... Let me quickly touch that quickly. A double portion for the firstborn. We have a scripture where God said to do that. Are we here? The firstborn takes priority. Somebody tried to give a reason for that and for that and all that. I'm not into that, actually. I could tell you that it's a type. I could tell you it's a type, but we will not begin to discuss that today. Are you here? My thought is this. I want to bring you to the place where you now see that we all have equal opportunity here and now. After having crossed the line, the first line of salvation through Jesus Christ, we now have equal opportunity to decide our position. And that position is not just going to be thrust upon us by the fact that He gave it to us, but by the fact that we work to get it. So I'm not working for my salvation when I'm working now. I'm working for my position. Are you here? I'm working for the rewards you give to me. Are you here? So actually, you can give one person more reward than the other person. And you already know why we're using the word reward. It's because of what this person did for him more than the other person. Right? It's not because of position of whatever. Because the same bed, we all have the same bed. When I'm born again, somebody can be born again 5 years ago, somebody born again 2 years ago. It's not elder brother. It's just born by the same Jesus Christ. But, so why will not differentiate them? Is he going to differentiate them by who first gave birth, who gave his life to Christ first? No, he's not who gave his life to Christ first. It's going to be now be by what they done. By their works. So, we now begin to talk about rewards. Now that we have crossed that portion of birth, we are all born by the same Jesus Christ. We can now talk about rewards. You can now see why somebody else is running and doing so much. And is encouraging you, do as much. You see, he's trying to do something. He's trying to get someplace. Because we know. Because we have to move to... There's another thing we have to touch. But I don't want to touch that. That's a waste of our time. We have to touch the fact that this whole world will pass. Right? This whole thing will finish. So now we are struggling to do something so we can get something for ourselves on the other side. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves. Who are you laying it up for? For your brother? Brothers and sisters, nobody, hear me now, nobody can lay up treasure for another person. It's not possible. Nobody. That is, a father on earth now cannot lay up treasures in heaven for his sons. No.
He cannot. Lay up treasures for yourself. As a pastor, no matter how much I do, I can't lay up treasures for you. That's why I am teaching you. That's why I show you. That's why we encourage you to do so much so that you can lay up treasures for yourself. Oh, now I'm there and I'm running out of time. So what do we do? Can we take this? There's a lot of scriptures that interest me, but I want to do one of them today. Are you still here? I want to do one. Then next week, as God helps us, we might even conclude on this. I don't know. But if you follow me, we can. We might, because I'm at the end now. I've finished the first part. I'm on the second part now. Let me do Luke chapter number 16. I want to show you something you never really seen before. Luke chapter number 16. You said the first one will have more. Don't mind me. I went back to that because I don't want to. Somebody could listen to me and don't know me. I don't want you to get lost. Somebody theorized that the first one will get more because the Lord said the first one should have a double portion because he said the parents used him to do experiments. He suffered a lot of things for no good reason. And I see that to be true. My first son, I mean, what we did to that boy, I mean, it's terrible. He didn't eat biscuits for 2 years, 3 years. I think just now I said, you know, we don't want you to eat this, we don't want you to eat this, we don't want you to touch this, we don't want you to eat this. The second guy, anything he wants to touch, do, go, forever. I'm like, oh, this guy missed a lot of these things. Juice, no drink juice. How many months? Check, no, can't drink juice. Ah, it was when Max. No. This is not good for the metabolic. The guy didn't take anything. He even has more issues now. The second one that we like, if you like, carry grave and swallow. You can even concern me. Nothing, doesn't have any problem. So we'll compensate him later. We'll use him to do practical. That is a reasonable thing. We're just trying to be nice there, but that's for that. I came a little bit hard, and some people might miss me a little bit here, but we get it. But I think what I want to do is I want people to understand. Especially if you're first here or you're don't if you're especially first, you are elder to somebody. Please do not use it as a place of power. It's a place of privilege. Use it as a place of privilege. Take it as a place of privilege and love the younger ones and bless them and lift them up as much as you can. Just do that. All right. Luke chapter number 16. Come on, do you love your pastor? All right, I just did that to check. Especially for the firstborn here. But funny, I don't know you personally, so please don't be offended here. In Luke chapter number 16, in verse number 10, he that is faithful in that which is least. He said, but look at the scripture before. I want to show you something now. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Have you ever considered that? Are you ready? All right. Because the struggle for that scripture is to find what true riches are. That's the struggle. So, then go, let's go. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Are you here now? So let's do this. Three scriptures we have here. 10 says, he that is faithful in that which... I'm going to touch it. Next week I'm going to continue. I want to finish now. I want to end today. Someone say, I'm tired. I am tired too. But I want to end with this. We'll dodge this and then we'll come pick up from this next week. Are we here? Come on, say amen. Verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least... is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. So we get least here and we get much here. If we take this scripture and match it with the parable that Jesus gave about faithful with 10 talents, then become Lord over 10 cities. You will see what little is and what much is. That's correct. I can move on to my next point. Can I? That's perfect. Little is what you have here. Much is what is there. There's much over here. So all you can compare, all you will see in this life is nothing compared to what's on the other side. Bible said the streets are paved with gold. That's much. This is here. All the gold here you have is little compared to the gold you have in heaven. He that is faithful in this. So this place we are is a testing place. Earth is a place of testing. I move to the next verse. Verse number 11 now. If therefore, he moves further. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You see. Unrighteous mammon. It's talking about money. True riches. The riches in heaven. The riches in heaven. If you say unrighteous mammon is money, true riches is money. Come on. Unrighteous mammon is small money. True riches is big money. There will be no point for verse number 11 because verse number 10 has already settled that part. Verse number 10 settled one matter. Faithful in little here, faithful in much there. Then he says, verse number 11, he now says, if you're not faithful in money here, what we give here, when we get there, who do you think will give you trouble? You won't get anything. If you can't give 5,000 there now, we can't give you 10,000 gold there. It will work. True stuff. That one is true stuff. Come on. Verse number 12. I can't annotate too much. So let's just go. We'll do that next week. This is a good to invite you for next week's service. Verse number 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? This one is where I was going to actually. As if I should even tell you, I should just close the service first. Delicious. Is that something I wanted to say? I just wanted to escape without saying it. Aish. This thing I want to land for you now. I mean, it's enough to just. You just say, I'm telling you. No, listen. He said, if you're not faithful in another man's own, who will give you your own? Everything we have here, we are stewards of. They belong to him. When we get there, you're not stewarding anything, it's your own. But that's beautiful. There's no test after this one. You're not a steward there again. No. You didn't get that. No, you didn't get that. Listen to me. Car, house, money, life, everything. Yeah. Remember, that's eternity. You're not taking your life again. Your life is fixed forever. That time, the life is your own. Now, your life is not your own. He said, if you're not faithful in another man, so that is his own. This life, the Bible says, he says it's not your life. Live for him. It's not your own. Your car, your money, your house, everything is not your own. They are for him. That is another man's own. If you're not faithful in another man's own, that God gave you money to keep, you are spending it on yourself. He said, who will give you your own? What you will get in heaven, what he will give to you, will be your own. Any crown he gives to you here on earth, let's take Kre, let's take me for example. I'm your pastor. I have a crown of pastoring. I have a power and crown. It is not my own. It is his own. When I'm done here and I shepherd well and I get there, he will not give me my own crown. That one is my own. He won't take it again. He doesn't take that one again. Sorry. Please, thank you for clapping. Implication for me is more than this. Can you imply? It means that if I have car now, it's not really my car, but I will soon have a car. This car, I can use it to do anything he wants me to do with it. He's the one that gave it to me. It's his car. I can do anything he wants me to do with it. Let you give me my own car that I will do what I want to do with by that time. That time I might choose not to carry you. Now. He said, I don't feel like carrying her. I agree with you. Me too, I don't feel like. But I don't have an option. This car is not my car. When you are done, by the time you stand before him face to face and he purifies everything by fire and you get to the last side, he now gives you your own car. My dear, it's not going to be a bad feeling. You carry everybody you want to carry. Everybody will have their own. Everybody will do what they want to do. But by that time, it will be your own truly. He's not judging you for how you will use that crown. That crown, it will be yours to use, enjoy the way you want. You give it your own. Now that be your own. Can you see the implication? So while you are here, don't worry about the way you feel or how you think. It's not your own. Don't worry about the pain. Don't worry, it's not your own. Do everything. Say, I don't sacrifice the way they didn't appreciate me. Don't worry. It's not is your own. Just be faithful. It's required in still worship that a man be found faithful. Be faithful. Man's own, he will soon give you your own. But if you are not faithful in the one he has given to you, he won't give you, won't see you. This is that we are still talking about the word though. So when he says who will give you your own, as in nobody is crazy to not put you in charge and say you are this one, anything you like, do with it. It is a trust. You know why when he gives you in heaven and say anything you like, do with it. He knows what you will do with it. You are proving it throughout your stay on earth. You have passed through fire. Okay, we'll talk about fire next week. We'll talk about fire next week. You have already passed through fire. So he will not say, that's why he cannot trust you with 10 cities. He's not crazy. If I give this guy 10 cities, I know what he will do. When he was on earth managing my 2 cities, see the way he manages very well. I will give you 10 cities. Anything you like, how you want to rule. I won't ask you any question. This one now is your own. Boy, the implication is heavy. Why we have authority here? I use myself just as your pastor and I have a crown of pastor. It's a powerful crown. It's a big crown. It's a crown of glory. It's not going to be as glorious as the crown he will give to me that will now be my own crown. Now I am pastoring. I'm a shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. Apostle Peter said, when the chief shepherd comes, he will give you a crown. But the person is giving crown already has a crown because it's already a shepherd here. There's a crown of shepherding. I'm a pastor. That's a crown. But he will say, when the chief shepherd will come, he will not give you a crown. They will take that crown and say, this one is my own. This life has finished. I will not give you your own crown. Now, shepherd, he is giving us a time to prove ourselves. This is your life. This is your 80 years, 92 years. It's a period of testing. He's testing you. Testing. What you do with it matters. Before he will not give you your own. It's like Oga to boy. You are working with him, it's his own, you are doing it very well. He looks at it and says, for all this thing you have done, you now take these 2 shops, you are now the owner of this shop, just give me this portion of it subsequently. Anything you like, anyhow you like, do it. That is now, it's now your own. I have cut it away from you, I have registered it under your name. Anything you like, you can now do. I can trust you. You have done this. Then you now take the other guy. The other guy, this one, say, guy, who I will not give you, then you will not beat all the servants in the house. Beat them, you will not give them food. Don't worry, just sit down here. Only you will come. He said, we pass through fire. He himself will be saved, but as through fire. You know when somebody fire burn everything. Everything he has done. Fire burn everything. Only him just came back one shirt and one trouser. You sit down there in heaven. Sit down there. Say, no problem. Just, we greet you. Just don't move from there. It's not, no point. There's no point. There's nothing there. Just stay there. So I want to go there. Say nothing is there. Everywhere is just black. Just stay there. You carry him. You come. But he will not give him any responsibility, any power. He won't have anything of his own. He will just be there. It won't be his own. Who will not give you your own? But you have stuff waiting for you in heaven. If you labor here, him faithfully with another man's own, he will give you your own. That one will be yours to enjoy. You say, pastor, there are things I want to buy, you will buy. Just wait. This money you have now is not your money. It's not easier now to understand it. It's my money. Okay, no problem. If it's your money here, it cannot be your money there. It can only be your money in one place. Choose one. Can I see you next week? Next week, I'll delve more into rewards. I'll show you. Please listen to these messages again and again. Let them sink in. It will make sense to you. You will see it will make sense. God bless you.
Come on, if you are jamming our hands, let us make it louder. Thank you so much, sir, for that powerful teaching.